Blog Talk Radio.
Babylon. 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 Why?
Scott Enstra Network.
We had some voting today, the primaries. If you went out and did that, I did. I was representing a friend that's in the Constitution Party, so I was only allowed to vote in that realm, which was very limited. So I don't know what anything else was. But since the Republican and Democrats are basically taken over by the New World Order, the only thing I could do was to try and change that through the Constitution Party. So, as I mentioned before, I was supporting a friend of mine who's running. We'll find out tonight if he's going to be successful. And if he just happens to make it, he'll be putting me on board, and that'll be interesting. But we'll see. We'll see. Anyways, the chat room's open. And I'm just going to kind of wing it today. I'm behind on everything. I had some people come in. Catching up on phone calls. Just was up late last night trying to get a few things done, so I'm just out of time. It's interesting, the show we did last Friday, The Little Green Men, was one of the biggest shows we've ever had. Now, I assume that because in the search engines, the meta tags that I put in had to do with the representative that discussed that particular circumstance that our troops would be running into, so I'm sure that was one of the reasons, but how interesting. Julie and I have talked more about dealing with the supernatural, about dealing with paranormal, because in reality, that is what we're dealing with. Now, when I say that, of course, I include evil. Evil does what evil is. And the last days, and If you want to go to another ministry and hear about good things, then that's fine. But you really don't hear the truth of what's really going on. And so I've just taken that responsibility on, and that's what I do. You know, I've had some say, well, you should do this and do that. Well, okay, fine. But, since no one else is really doing what I do, then I think I should stick with that. Because in reality, these things that I discuss are what I see in everyday life when it comes to those who come through the door. Now, today was a good day. I had the chance to bless and dedicate a young boy. And, that was actually quite satisfying. That was very enjoyable. I got a lot of peace out of that. I don't get a chance to do that very often. Not very many parents bring their children in. Now, I've had cases where circumstances were different when they brought the child in because the parents themselves were not in Christ. And it turns out that the child's tormented. And what's a shame is that the even though I bring it to light what's going on with them, they still don't change. They still don't repent. They still don't bring themselves into alignment with God through Christ. And so the child suffers. So many of you that come to see me are under generational curses, whether it was your parents, whether it was your grandparents, great-grandparents, all the way back. It can be any of that. And what it means is that you didn't get a head start like this young man did. Now, of course, it's still on the parents' shoulders as to how they, because the child or the young boy is under the, below the age of accountability. And so there can be some things that he can do that can set things up for a bad life, but because of what I did today, anything that may have been attached to him was removed. It's kind of like taking a hot knife and running it through butter, because since he's not founded in evil, since he's not founded in behaviors much like adults, it's really easy to clean him up. And there apparently, you know, the individual that brought him in, a praying grandmother is absolutely worth her weight in gold. You know, and I've told that story before, and maybe with some new listeners, I'll tell it again about this gal that came in. She was older, quite a bit older, and she was the, you know, basically the sweetheart of the church. And so she comes in for deliverance, and we're just thinking, oh, you know, why do you, you know, want to come in for deliverance? You don't have any manifestations. You have no curses. Your life has been blessed, you know. And she just said, well, I, you know, and just in case there's something on me, I don't want it. And so we thought, well, okay. So we start praying, and lo and behold, Grandma manifests. And one of the first things, now I was still in being trained, and so I wasn't the lead. And so I'm observing this, and the one doing the deliverance says, you know, what's your name, spirit? And I don't remember what it was. I may have said it before, but I just can't think of it now. But anyways, the main point was, what's your legal right? And the demon said, I don't have one. I said, you don't have one? I said, yes. She had a praying grandmother and broke all the curses. And we said, well, then why are you here? And the demon simply said, because no one told me to leave. Now think about that. Now, even though the demon was dormant, that if there had been something in her life that she would have done wrong in or been a victim of some type of assault, some type of trauma, then this thing would have, you know, taken hold. And so it was very easy to cast out. It was one of the easiest demons, just, you know, go. It was gone. So there's an example that when, you know, our parents, our grandparents are godly, are in Christ, and do those things we're called, you know, praying for our children, covering them, anointing them, dedicating them. And so she was a prime example. Now, you don't see that very often. You just don't see it. I don't see it. I very rarely see it. What I see, you know, of course, most of the people come in, is because there was issues in the bloodline, issues in the past generations that condemned, that cursed, that defiled, you know, the next generations. And so you yourself might be dealing with that. You might have bad relationships, you know, you go through marriages, you know, you're fighting addictions. These are things that set you up and then carries on to your children. Now, your children, now just think about this. Now, you know, let's say the average age of the people listening, I mean, I don't know what it is, but we'll say from 20 to 70, very easily. So in this age group, you have people who aren't parents yet, and you have people who are parent or grandparents, and even great, because very potentially here, I could be a great-great here very easily. And that's, which is really weird, you know, I'm only 60, but that's just the way it is. But the thing of it is that when you have generations and there's sin and there's curses, it's kind of like the snowball effect. When you send something tumbling down, it picks up things and it gets bigger and bigger. And so here we are thousands of years later, and all these curses are on everybody, and nobody's been doing deliverance in any volume. And so the mass majority of people in this world are in trouble. And that's a bad thing. And so it shows the very nature of where we're at. Now, let me address something here. When we look at incest, when we look at those things, now how that crossed over from Adam and Eve and then multiplying and into this and that, then there was a point in time where there was a line drawn and said, okay, anything within a few relations of the mother's blood is not acceptable. And what's happening is that when you inbreed, and the royal family is a prime example of this, and we see this with history, that what I'm getting at is the Muslims basically were doing the same thing. And so in other countries, there's so much inbreeding that there's a lot of birth defects. There's a lot of mental illness. There's a lot of issues. And we see in Deuteronomy, we see in Leviticus, especially in Deuteronomy, where it talks about being next to the mother's blood, that this is not acceptable. This actually brings a curse. Now, when, you know, I see these articles on Facebook where, you know, some 50-year-old dog marries some 8-year-old girl, that's disgusting. That is absolutely not even, you know, it's just, can't even comprehend it. And the child, which is not of age yet, obviously is traumatized. And so because of this violation, because in reality it's still a rape. When you're not of the age of accountability, when you're not able to consciously make that decision of right and wrong, a child cannot do that. So it's rape. And so they've legalized rape within their religion. And what it does is it curses everybody. It curses the child. The child's a victim twice because of the circumstances. The devil doesn't play fair. And so we have this massive insanity in Islam. Now, they're sending them up here. This area is now becoming changed. So I would imagine pretty soon I'm going to be challenged for my stance on all this. Even the liberals here are taking them in. And it's not going to end well. It just isn't. The whole thing's a plan, a plot. It's here to destroy the nation. Now, if you have somebody who's legitimately coming that wants to contribute to the United States under our established laws, under what this nation is, I'm all for it. I mean, that was the original intent of this country. But that's not what's going on here. And there's even, you know, the potential that Obama's never going to leave office. He's going to go the third term, and it's not even a term. You know, he's a dictator, and he's a tyrant. He's a murderer. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's everything that is evil. And, you know, you can't disagree with me. Let's do the Scott Hensler checklist, okay? So does he believe in God? Well, the question is, what God? Okay, Baphomet. There's one, right? Okay, that's one marked against him. Does he believe in Jesus Christ? He knows of Jesus Christ, but he rejects him. That's two, okay? So we go on down the list. And bing, 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 he's evil, okay? He's accursed. He is a liar. He is of his father, the devil, period, okay? And he's probably not even human. So so then that means that he's a vessel of demons. Have you ever seen a wolf spider? Wolf spiders carry their babies on their back. It's really disgusting. You know, as a kid, I think I mentioned before, I threw a rock at one and the whole ground turned black of little spiders. And that was like, duh, that was the wrong thing to do. Well, that's Obama. He's got monkeys on his back. He's got demons. Whether he's a hybrid, whether he's a reptilian, whether he's a clone, he may be a combination of everything. He may be bubblegummed and baleen wired together. In fact, I'm sure that's what he is. But whatever he is, he's evil. He does not have the spirit of God. He never will. He's marked out for destruction. and he's doing what evil does, and that is to do everything to destroy this country. Now, this country, when it was founded, okay, we had the Puritans, you know, we had, you know, we have to look at history, and what we find is that the Freemasons, you know, were right there with them. And so we look at Washington, D.C., we look at Philadelphia, we look at Boston, we look at New York, we look at all these other places, the 13, now there's a funny number, right, the 13 original colonies. And by the way, the representation of that was a snake, and it was cut up in little tiny pieces. Well, that's interesting. So it tells you that evil was actually embedded in this country. Now, even though the Puritans offshore made the, you know, the Mayflower Pact, well, you know, obviously something went wrong. Because here we are after all these years, and evil is in charge. How can evil get in charge of a country that God was in control? Well, we look at the Old Testament. You know, there's just one case after another how the people screwed up. You know, they tried to make Washington a king. At least that's what they say. Now, Washington was a staunch Freemason. They'll try and tell you that he wasn't. You know, and others will tell you, you know, that what a good thing it was for him to be. No, it wasn't. That meant that he worshipped Lucifer. That meant that Baphomet was his god. And so from the very foundation of the presidency, it was already cursed. So the Oval Office, the White House, you know, everything that was put in place was out of order. And so, again, we go back to the Old Testament, and we saw that the people wanted a king. They didn't want the board. They didn't want the eldership. They wanted a king. And so God gave him a king. And so as any time that you give power to a selected individual, they become corrupt. Now, you may have one that works out, but look at David. Look at his sons. Now, why were his sons a mess? Well, remember what he did. Okay, he conspired to commit murder. He committed adultery. And so the child that was born out of that died. And then from that point forward, there was just chaos one after another because of those sins. Now, Jesus hadn't been born and didn't sacrifice himself yet to change that. So even though he was, you know, considered to be after God's own heart, because of what he did, he still cursed himself or cursed his bloodline. See? And there was incest, there was, you know, these things that took place again, which perpetuated that curse. So everything, basically, when you look at Israel, is just flipping over one over another again and again and again and again, and curses and sin and rebellion. And eventually they lost. And they killed Jesus. So you can try and listen to the mainstream church and let them lie to you and tell them all the stuff that you know we've been trying to warn you about, or you can understand who you are, and that it's no mistake that you are alive today under the circumstances of what's going on. And so too much is given, much is expected. Since Christ died for us and gave us commandments, then therefore we're to be obedient and do those things. The Bema seat, going before Christ, is when our works are, you know, observed and seen if they brought, you know, edification. We don't work for our salvation, but we're workers. We're bondservants. We've been given commandments. We stand and fight evil. And so those things that we do show that we are in Christ, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that we have the seal of God upon our forehead, and that our fruit brings those things that show we have the Holy Spirit, that we love Jesus, that we have committed ourselves to serving Him because we believe unto Him. And by believing unto Him, then we receive those things that empower us. When Christ lives in us, then we then have that power and authority that was given to Jesus. And with, again, much is given, much is expected. So when we look at curses, when we look at demons, when we look at those things that cause mental illness, that causes infirmities, that causes accidents, loss of finances, divorce, and all this stuff, well, why is it running rampant? Because Satan came in years and years ago into the mainstream churches, created most of them, actually. And so you haven't been taught the truth. You haven't been taught who you really are. You haven't even been taught really who Jesus is. Because He comes back with a sword. He's going to come back to divide, meaning those who are lukewarm, He's going to spit them out of their mouth, His mouth. Well, that's a pretty frightening situation. For those who claim that they were His, He's going to say, "Away from me, I did not know you." And so if you run the numbers, if you look, you know, you draw a little line on a paper on the left to the right, and we look at your timeline in your life, I look at mine, and so I was almost two-thirds into, you know, halfway into my life before I, you know, came to Jesus. So all of those years I could have been serving Him and I didn't. So I got a lot of making up to do, and I've been doing it, trying to anyways. But when I parallel myself to the church, well, what's their fruit? Bringing someone who's a false convert into the church, not teaching them the truth, not showing them the power that God has given them through Christ and His sacrifice, not educating them in the real battle, the real fight that we're in, the true evil, and then now we're finding out that there are hybrids, there are entities, there are clones, there are reptilians, there are insectoids, there's all these bizarre creatures. You know, I was just watching a thing last night on Dulce, again, there in New Mexico, and wow, you know, there's an awful lot of information that's there to show us that there really is an underground base, and it really is full of creatures that when the hatch opens up, it's going to be like ants coming out of an ant bed, and men's hearts will fail them for fear. So why is the church not letting you know this? Well, again, you know, I don't want to keep beating a dead horse, but obviously they don't want you to know it. So who is that guy standing at the pulpit? If he really hears from God, if he's really in Christ, then why is he not preparing you? I mean, that's, you have to ask that question. And by the way, if you got any questions, you know, throw them at me here. Got quite a few on the chat room. But I just wanted to, you know, cover that. That in reality, we've never left Babylon. And it's actually a very complicated world because we have technology. Now, I believe they had technology that exceeded what we have now because of the fallen angel information, you know, their technology that they were able to transpire. We saw this in the Book of Enoch. But it's gone full circle. And because of the agreement that the U.S. government made with the Greys, with the reptilians, and that's documented fact, by the way. And anybody that's tried to bring that information out that had a first-hand account has been murdered. Now, I say murdered, they've all been supposedly suicide. It's funny how people kill themselves who are key witnesses to all the events, including the assassination of President Kennedy. including those things that had to do with 9/11. Sure is an awful lot of suicide out there for people who have a lot of knowledge, who have a lot of reason to have a righteous anger to stand up for truth. Because in that truth, we are set free. Preaching, casting out demons or healing in order. Okay. Preaching, casting out. Well, here's the thing. When he healed people, were they Christians? Some were, some weren't. And so how were some of them healed? Because demons came out. Some were just healed of their infirmities, but some had their illnesses because of demons. And so when it comes to praying for people, because in reality, that's what we're doing when we're casting out demons. We're entering into the presence of the Lord, and they went out by two, two or more gathered. And in that, they laid hands, they anointed. Even Paul, you know, had items, cloth, handkerchiefs, even the shadows of the apostles healed. Healed. So when it says healed, it could mean a demon came out, and or that you can have, let's say that someone was traumatized in a car accident, okay? So, you know, someone lost a loved one, and it was a horrible thing, and so that hurt, that pain, that wound, and that shock, and that fright, that fear during that circumstances is a fracturing or a wounding to the soul, and so you can be injured during the accident, but you can also get a demon. And so now you have, you can have unforgiveness toward yourself because maybe you blamed yourself. What if I turned right instead of left? What if I had looked this way instead, you know? So you drive yourself nuts thinking that you were the one who caused the accident. Maybe you didn't have anything to do with it. And so the guilt, the shame, the toxic guilt comes in and torments you. Well, it's the demons. Now you have a head injury. You've got a hematoma. You've got you had a lot of blood that came and made pressure in your brain and all. So you can have all these injuries, but you still got demons. So we can cast demons out, and you still have the injury. So then a healing is necessary. That's why we call it deliverance, healing and deliverance, because they are actually two separate things, but there can be a healing because the demon may be causing the infirmity. Now, someone challenged me a while back. There are viruses that are put in vaccines that cause cancer. There is those things of the benzene rain that is considered the basis of chemicals that come out of crude oil. Benzene in itself is one of the worst carcinogens that's known. And you can have other things that derive from that. So the question is, if you're given a vaccine that has the cancer virus in it, then people will say, well, then you don't have a demon. When in reality, the reason the cancer virus is in there is because of evil. And so it was projected onto you. It was broadcasted onto you. It was placed upon you. And because the information of the people in the world think that doctors are everything, that they're God, receive it. So it's like a curse. People can speak curses on you. They can speak out. You know, the tongue is very powerful. When I do a deliverance, I don't necessarily always do it, but there's times that I will just simply, before I move forward, that I will speak, that I will command and inform the demons that they are under my authority given to me through Jesus Christ. So I already set the stage. You are going to obey me. You are going to listen to me. You are going to do what I tell you to do. Okay? Not everybody does it. I don't necessarily do it all the time. it's kind of a Holy Spirit thing. You know, I just do it as it comes. Why is there a separation in deliverance and healing? Well, again, let's look at some of the cases in the Bible. We had where the child was vexed, and he would stumble and even being thrown into the fire. Okay, so you had a demon that was causing palsies, that was causing reactions that we would see as grand mal type seizures and things. Well, these were demons that were doing it. And so, but the end result was that the child would have been injured by falling into the fire. And so that would have been a direct result of what the demons did, but yet it was an action of the circumstances. And let me give you an example here. There was a gal who was blonde, blue-eyed, very attractive, thin, who was kidnapped, and they were in a vehicle, and they were taking her to the Mexican border. Now, they were going at high speed, coming up to the border, and I don't know how she did it. Somehow she managed to jump out of that car at somewhere between 45 and 50 miles an hour. Now, obviously, the individuals in the car were demon-possessed. And they didn't have her best interest in mind. Who knows what in the world they did prior to it, because I don't know. But here this girl hurls herself out of the car as one last-ditch effort to make sure that she's not taken across the border, because once she goes across, you're never going to see her again. Well, you could imagine, you know, with Arizona, and now that particular area, actually the altitude isn't quite as high, but it's still hot, that when you have asphalt, when you have those things that are abrasive and you're flying at 50 miles an hour and basically not wearing much, you can imagine the road rash. You've seen, you know, motorcycle accidents. You've seen yourself when you fall down and skin your knee. You can imagine what happened to her. Well, there is not one scar on that woman's body to this day. There was a divine, miraculous healing of everything that ever happened to her. So the evil was thwarted. The circumstances or the consequences of that particular event did not set. And so there was a divine healing that took place. So you can have people who were put in comas, and let's say that they were they had demons of addiction, and so they were drinking excessive amounts of alcohol, and this includes the victims in other cars if there's a bad car accident, and someone's put into a coma. Okay, well, the initial result or trigger was the fact that the person had addiction demons that led them to alcohol or drugs that then caused the accident. And the end result that innocent people were injured. And so once in a while, we'll see that somebody comes out of a coma and is completely healed. They don't remember anything. They're just like normal. That doesn't happen very often, but it does happen. So that was a healing that took place, and the demons then were removed. Because when you violate somebody, when you assault somebody, when you do something that's outside of God's law, that's when the demons have a legal right. Have we ever had a demon that won't go? Oh, absolutely. There's several reasons for that. One is usually there's a stronghold, a legal right, that hasn't been addressed. And one of the biggest issues that I've seen is unforgiveness. Now, demons are stubborn. Some of them are stronger and more powerful than other demons. And so sometimes the fight goes a little longer. But again, this is where when you do a deliverance and you've got a couple of people that's helping you, two or more, right? And they're both in agreement. They're both anointed. They both have, you know, the gift of deliverance. And the demon doesn't usually stand a chance. It usually goes a lot quicker. But a lot of times what will happen is these demons that don't go, now, we'll address, you know, these kind come out with fasting and prayer, that it may be over time. Now, let me explain to you on this. Now, God knows all things, okay? He's in control of time and space, and so obviously the prophecies that have been written and those things that have been fulfilled and those things that still are to come, that he knows already how it's going to work out. But in patience and in devotion and consecration and proving yourself, that sometimes healing comes slow. Now, you'll see in Scripture that they'll say sometimes that it came out within the hour. Otherwise, it didn't come out at that immediate moment. And, of course, there's, you know, debate on to what really constituted an hour back then, since they didn't really have time. Some would say it was just the day. But, and I've seen this too, by the way. I've prayed for people. There was absolutely no manifestations, and they went home, and I'm thinking that I failed. And then they call me up the next day, and they're completely healed, or the thing's gone, and they know it. So it's pretty much in God's timing. And so a lot of times when demons don't come out, it may be that the individual's heart just isn't quite right yet. That's why I've done the shows Matters of the Heart and Soul Ties. Those two things go together. You may still have desires towards things that you haven't quite walked away from yet. And so that is one of the tethering, one of the ties that still holds you to the demon, or the demon held to you. So, I mean, I can't just give you a straight answer across the line, but that's one of the things. Unforgiveness, and even some people hold God responsible, and so we need to repent of that. We also need to repent of unbelief, okay, because there are times that people think, you know, I've had people come and go, well, you're not going to be able to do anything, then go away. It's your faith. Right? And that means the exact opposite of fear, because if you don't have any faith, then what you're saying to yourself is that things are just going to be the way they are, and they're not going to change. And so I'm not going to lift myself up only so I could fall again with disappointment. And demons are really good about that. But the other is to forgive yourself. Because, as I mentioned, that those who have been molested as children, that the perpetrator is very good about projecting guilt onto the victim. And so now the victim actually believes that they're the ones who are at fault. They believe that if they tell anybody about what happened to them, that nobody would love them. They are told that if their parents find out, that their parents wouldn't love them. And so many people hold on to this toxic guilt and shame their whole life. And it's a stronghold. And that's a terrible thing for anybody to carry with them. This is why you see certain people who are self-destructive on themselves, because they have lost hope. They don't believe that they have worth. See, they don't think that God loves them or that anyone could love them. And so we need to repent of that. Believe me, that's one of the main strongholds on certain cases. Lazarus, how much faith did Lazarus have? Well, Lazarus passed, but I can assure you after he was risen that he had a great deal of faith. The faith, really, the issue was in the others. You know, Jesus took his time getting there. He knew what was going on. He certainly knew the circumstances. But it was noted that, you know, if you had been here, this wouldn't have happened. Well, if this was all in God's time. That's one of the main things there. Yeah, but yeah, you know, where the angels would stir up the pool and you know, people had faith that was, you know, what would bring them heal them, and they would, you know, wait and wait and wait. You know, let me address these kind come out with fasting and prayer again. You know, I've talked about this. And again, when we fast, what we're doing is we're making a commitment. We're saying that we're going to sacrifice something. We're going to do what we're called to do. We're going to be obedient. And so we're submitting. And then when we pray, we're entering before the Lord. So when you do that, then what you're saying is that I'm letting everything else go. So what I have found that when this takes place, then the individual that we're having trouble getting the demons out, and then we'll have them go home and fast. And let me give you, again, that example. I've given it before, that this gal who was in really bad shape, aspartame absolutely destroyed her brain. She was blind in one eye. And because of this, because of, you know, Monsanto and all these other evil companies, she basically was under a curse from that. And there was this one demon that was just not wanting to go. And so we told her to go home and fast and pray and listen, you know, to praise and worship and do all this other stuff and come back next week and we'll hit it again. Well, when she came back and we started praying for her, the demon manifested and the demon basically said, "Get me the heck out of here. Jesus this, Jesus that, I can't stand it anymore." Drove the demon nuts. Now, notice it said, "Get me out of here." It couldn't leave on its own. It wasn't one of the ones I referred to as timeshare demons. And it left. So there's a good example. I think that helps explain, or, you know, puts things in perspective. Yeah, in fact, that does happen. And let me bring it up, the thing here. Would not someone that had doubt, unbelief, healed and have more faith? That's why Jesus healed those who weren't Christians. Because in the miracles, then they believed. But here's what the church does, and this has happened to me. I was in when I was brand new in deliverance. It was just an amazing time. It really was. I mean, I'd had horrible things happen. I decided, you know, in my heart that I was not going to allow bitterness and hatred and unforgiveness settle in, and that I was going to move forward. And then I, you know, found out about the deliverance ministry and got delivered, and then wanted to serve on an intercessory prayer team in the church I was in. Well, basically, unknown to me at the time, because I didn't quite understand the structure of the church, it was laid out like a corporation. And so they actually had rules. They actually had documents, a yes and a no, what you could and couldn't do when it came to praying, when it came to doing anything that may have even resembled deliverance. And we were told never to give anyone that faith. Now listen to this. Because if it didn't happen, they would lose even more faith. Well, how about we just put God in a box right off the bat? Do you not see the insanity of that whole thing? That's stepping into a situation and saying that God can't do it. And glossa, speaking in tongues, those things that are, you know, and I tell this story. There was a gal that had a sweetheart. God loves a sweet and gentle spirit in a woman. And we were training her up, and she came over to this woman that I was interviewing. It was actually a child's deliverance. but people frequently would bring in a teenager. And so I was interviewing the mother as to what the potentials of, you know, what was going on with the son. And so I'm praying, you know, trying to get a word of knowledge, and a lot of things were actually coming. Well, the new gal walks up behind the gal I'm interviewing and just starts praying in tongues. And that immediately caused the demon in this woman to manifest. And this woman was a very nice lady, and she her eyes rolled back in her head, and she looked up at the woman who's praying in tongues with her eyes rolled, you know, because all you could see was the whites of her eyes. Really, really weird. And then she turns over to me, and her tongue hangs out, and the thing goes, "I hate you." All right? So there's praying in tongues absolutely allowed the Holy Spirit to come in and squeeze that demon up like a wet bar of soap out of the hands and pop up, and immediately became evident. And it was in a miraculous deliverance. It really was. And then I'd gotten a word from the Lord that there were five things that the Lord was very pleased about her, even though she had a demon. And I don't remember what it was. It's been too, you know, there's demons come and go. And I told her, you know, there were five things that the Lord was very pleased with her. And I held up my hand, and I was, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And she's just looking at me like, "I don't know what you're talking about." And I said, "Well, let's just pray about it." And then she started crying. And she said that I'm supporting five children, like over, you know, in Africa or something like that. And she named their names off, and so we blessed the children. It was quite an amazing time, but it was because of praying in tongues that manifested. So yeah, praying in tongues is a wonderful thing. What is the strangest deliverance? Well, quite a few different ones, but you know, I still have to laugh at this one. There was I've talked about it before. It may not be the strangest, but it's certainly one that's for the books. He was a two-time convicted child molester, and he came in for deliverance because he was getting the itch again to molest another child. And so I give the guy some, you know, credit for wanting to rectify things. And it turned out, you know, he was molested too. But in my interrogation, it turned out that the uncle had murdered somebody. There was a murder in the family. And so that just opened the door for a floodgate of different demons. And somehow this guy had gotten this particular one. And the church I was in invited the elders to sit in on the deliverance because none of them had really ever seen it before. And so there was, I don't know how many, they were all older guys. You know, there were guys from 70 to 90. I mean, they were, you know, these were the elders. And so here I got this monster sitting in front of me that's snarling and spitting and everything else. And it was, you know, he gives all the perversion that's in him. And I was made a checklist of all the demons. And so I'm writing down this demon, I'm writing that demon, and, you know, seeing what the legal right is so I can set my plan of attack, because this guy's loaded, right? And I turn to write something down, and we're in the sanctuary, right? And the demon drops an F-bomb right on me right there, you know, uses the F-word. Basically tells me to, you know, what off. And all the elders just basically gasped, you know, they almost passed out. And I turned, and I said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, how dare you defile the house of God? May the Holy Spirit smite you." And that guy straightened up like a board in a 45-degree angle in his chair, and white foam shot out of his mouth. And I've never in my life ever seen anything like that before. And it went all over the elders. And so I would say that was probably one of the weirdest ones. But the elders got a taste of the power of God. And the demon did come out. the one that had did that, and I can assure you that it's still in the lake of fire, or it's still in the pit where I sent it. But that was, and it's as strange as it may sound to you, it was actually an honor for me to deliver that guy. You know why? Because there's, just think of all the little girls that didn't get touched by that guy. Just think of their, that was 15 years ago, 14 years ago. They'd be young adults now. And just think how screwed up. They could be on drugs. They could be whores, because that's unfortunately what happens. They become prostitutes, or they become druggies, and they sell themselves for drugs or whatever, or commit suicide or died with an overdose. So that's the way I look at it. The bigger, the meaner, the uglier the thing is, the more I feel honored to be the one to take them out, because it means other people aren't going to perish. It means other people aren't going to, to be infected by other demons. The most miraculous healing that I saw, I didn't do. It was by Michael W. Smith. It was in the House of Healing in Phoenix, Arizona. And this young man came in, and he was a cracked addict, and his teeth were rotten. I mean, they were rotten. They were black, fractured, broken. And he got new teeth. He got new teeth. That's all I can tell you. Right in front of all of us, he got new teeth. So that was, wow. That was a biggie. So that was probably the most miraculous. I mean, there's been, I've got a friend that actually died, and he was at a junior high or a junior college, and he loved tap dancing. He was a tap dancing fool, and it turned out he had a bad ticker, and he drops dead. Well, they had just installed one of those defibrillators that are kind of like fire extinguishers in the wall. You can open up the thing and pull them out. Well, there was an EMT that happened to be close by that knew how to operate the thing, and it didn't bring him back, but they kept him going. And they got him to the hospital, which was just across the street. In fact, the junior college was Mesa Community College on Dobson Road. And the Desert Samaritan Hospital was across the street. And so they got him over there, and he was dead, but they were keeping him, the ticker going from the shock, and they got him back. And they had to put a pacemaker in. And he wasn't happy about that, but he certainly was happy to be alive. But if you've ever seen the pacemakers, they're just under the skin, and they're a little bit smaller than a pack of cigarettes or a cigarette lighter, and it's really uncomfortable, especially him, because he didn't have an ounce of fat on him. He's as skinny as could be. And so for 9 months, he kept coming in, and we would pray for him. And I had a whole bunch of colloidal silver, and I gave him like a gallon, and I told him to take a shot a day to make sure that his immune system wasn't being taxed. And so a year later, the pacemaker showed, because, it has the ability to record, that there was absolutely nothing wrong with his heart. And so it took a while to find a doctor who was willing to take it out. But they did, and that was 5 years ago. So there you go. Faith, praying, fasting, and not giving up, not giving up. His wife loved him, and she made sure that he was there on Friday nights and Sunday nights there in Phoenix when I was still down there. And so that was a wonderful time. Have I ever seen Jesus? No, I can't tell you that I've ever seen Jesus. I've certainly today felt his presence when I prayed for that little boy. I can assure you that boy is going to be a mighty man of God. When you see a child that has no hate, when you see somebody who hasn't been insulted, assaulted, or tainted, and they're still pure, that is really something. And unfortunately, in my business here, I don't see that very often. So that was called preventative maintenance, right? Preventative medicine. Making sure that the curses were broken, making sure that the doors were closed, the strongholds are lifted, the legal rights are canceled, that nothing happens to this child. You know, what a wonderful thing. So, well, anyways, yeah, I'm just going to go an hour tonight. I'm whooped. I'm beat. Still trying to recover from last week. But, I have to laugh. You know, the guy who owns this place, I don't know whether to club him over the head or to pray for him. And I noticed today that he took my sign down in my door. So he's got it. He's trying to push my buttons. How funny, you know? And he doesn't understand. I know that he doesn't get it. But at the same time, you know, if I pay my bills and I dot my I's and cross my T's and watch what I'm doing, there's no reason to be affected like that. So this is going to be interesting because I'm not going to talk. If I got to make another sign and put it up, then that's what I'm going to do. I make it myself, you know. If you go to Kinko's or some of these other places, you know, FedEx, you know, Kinko's and FedEx, I think, are together. Geez, they want like $45 for the thing. You know, I can't just keep putting that money out there for a sign that goes in the door. So I just try and print it out myself and get one of those stickers, you know, you can buy that look like a label kind of thing. But so if he takes it down, then I'll, you know, this time I'm going to make it green instead of red. And the next time it'll be blue. So I'm just going to keep at it. So pray for me on that one. All right. How about one last question? Anyone got a last question here before we go? Yeah, he certainly has a temper. And the apple didn't fall far from the tree. Yeah. Sharpies. Yeah, in fact, this whole building complex is kind of like a little shop of horrors, actually. Can we deliver ourselves? Absolutely. And in fact, let me make a suggestion for you. When I was down in Phoenix, we managed to secure the name HardcoreChristianity.com for Michael W. Smith. HardcoreChristianity.com. And on his website, he does have a tab that is for self-deliverance. And so I've never tried to improve on it. I think he did a pretty good job. And so I would do that. I would go to HardcoreChristianity.com, and you'll see the self-deliverance tab. And then there's even a tab there that's for maintenance. So after a deliverance, you know, there are, you know, you need to walk, you need to do this, and so I would recommend that. But self-deliverance, oh, absolutely. In fact, I do it on myself. You don't think that I'm not under attack, and people speak word curses over me, and that witches try and do their things to me. And so then I just sit myself down and go after anything that may have tried to attach to me. And so we do that. Absolutely. Yeah, I worked under Mike there for a while, set him up with his video and did two TV shows for him. And so, yeah. And appreciate your prayers because it really does help. Just like the praying grandmother, you know, as Christians, we're seniors. We're adults. We're indoctrinated into the body of Christ, which is Jesus, and Jesus lives in us, and so we're elders. You know, we're going to be judging angels. We're going to be, you know, doing things that put us in control. So we need to start acting like it, you know? If you're the boss, then act like the boss. And you know, it doesn't mean you need to be a tyrant. Nothing more than, you know, when I had crews that were underneath me. I did stuff for Motorola, and we did quality control of what they call tool installs, the machines, and had to have, you know, that all, you know, if you buy a $1 million machine and you have $150,000, $200,000 worth of install equipment, otherwise the facilities, the power, the water, the gas, those things, they have to be done right. And so my job was to make sure that everybody wanted to work for me. And because I treated them as an equal and that I was fair to them, they wanted to work for me. So I had a fantastic crew because they enjoyed coming to work. You know, if you like what you do, you don't work another day in your life. And so as Christians, that's how we need to move forward. I mean, that's just it. We show the love in us. Show us the respect. Nothing cuts through me worse than disrespect. That's one of the worst things that anybody can ever do to me. It really rears me up. Because I've seen, it's nothing worse than seeing somebody who's a good person, they're being disrespected, or an elder, or taken advantage of. You know, this TSA stuff where these elderly people are in wheelchairs and some of them actually get knocked out of the chair. I mean, that's just insane. That's such a disrespect of elders that there's going to be an accountability for that. So, all right. Well, I'm going to call it quits. But let me pray. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, as we go through these times, as we come into agreement, as I come up alongside my brothers and sisters listening, as I stand in proxy, that in the name of Jesus Christ, as I speak into the spirit realm, it is so. I bind on earth what I bind in the heavens, and I loose on earth what I loose in the heavens. And because of this, Father, that in the name of Jesus, those listening, those within the sound of my voice, whether they're listening live or whether in the archives, that it still carries the same power, the same dunamis. And Father, with that, as we put on the full armor, God, with the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, our loins are girdled in the truth, our feet are shod with the readiness of the gospel, and that we hold up the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. But also, Father, as we hold the sword of the Spirit, which is your word, we claim that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And so, Father, in this, may your hand be upon those listening. May they, as they sleep tonight, that you come to them and dreams and visions and show them with words of knowledge as to who they are in Christ, the mission that you have for them, but also that as they go through the day, that hand that's upon them from you, that they feel your love. And so as we place them under Psalm 91 and you take them under your wing, Father, may they move forth in your divine direction and power, and in that covering that they are safe. And in that safety, Father, that they can be still and know you are God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. All right, good night, everyone, and thanks for joining.